to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Has anyone ever told you you need to wake up? You ever heard that? You know, wake up. Like, maybe in your class or maybe at home, maybe at work. People are just like, hey, wake up. Wake up. And you're like, I am. I'm trying really hard. I haven't had so many times our excuses either. I haven't had my coffee. Because we live in a caffeinated world. Whether it is our coffee, our tea, our energy drink, or I don't know if you've had those monsters. They're called Rehab, and they have iced tea and lemonade together with a kick. Oh, my goodness. Those are probably really bad for you. You should not drink them, but they taste so amazing. They're so good. I don't know why they're so good, but we can sometimes have the appearance of being awake yet being so tired, can't we? We just put that face on like, I'm here, and we live on the energy of an energy drink or our coffee, but then inside, we're struggling to keep our eyes open. You ever been there? You see, I think we all have been there. Maybe, have you ever thought you just don't want to keep going? It's like, I would rather stay in bed, not even hit the snooze button, hit the stop button, because your alarm, you can do that instead of snoozing, and then just stay in bed. And like, I'm not even going to worry about the rest of today. And some of us, we're living our lives almost like that, aren't we? Well, we're not even snoozing. It's not even that we're not awake. It's that we don't even care. It's we're just going. We're just moving through the motions. We're just doing life, and that's just all we're doing. There are some churches spoken of here in this book of Revelation. And they are going through some inner struggles of trying to figure out who they are and what they're supposed to be doing. You have this church called Sardis. God says to them, wake up. I don't know what you're doing, but you need to wake up. So this morning, we're going to look at these three last churches of Revelation and see what God has to say to us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for today. God, as we are struggling, some of us are tired physically, some of us are tired spiritually, some of us are tired mentally. Some of us have the trinity of being tired and adding in some kids in there, and that just makes us exhausted. So Lord, wherever we're at today in these seats that are so comfortable, that recline, except our mind's broken, Lord, help us to stay awake. Lord, I ask not only, Lord, for our physical awake and alertness, Lord, but I ask that you'd wake us up spiritually this morning. Stir in us, God, something fresh and new. Some of us, we've come in here, we're grumpy, we don't want to be at church. We were drugged here by somebody else. Lord, help us realize our desperate Lord, I ask, God, that you would speak to your churches throughout the valley this morning. Lord, I pray that as a church, as a whole, as a people that believe in you, Lord, whether we are at North Valley or CCB or Calvary Community or Redemption or the Refuge or the Meadows down the street, Lord, God, that we would wake up as believers. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So if you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we're going to look at the last three churches of this book of Revelation here. Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, and the church of Laodicea. And this is some good stuff for us today. Good reminders. Depending on where we are, whether we are living as somebody who says we believe in Jesus, somebody we're not, there's good things in here for us no matter where we are. This week or last week, I was talking to this guy that I know, a friend of mine, and we were talking about some religious things, and he was comparing, what was it? I don't even really know what it is. It's like a business, but it's a religion. And they you just, I don't, to be honest, I have no idea what it is. I couldn't understand. But you go to these conferences and seminars, and it's like a church service except it's business. But you sing songs, and the speaker comes up and tells you things. It was really bizarre. And he goes, Jeremiah, what's crazy is, he goes, just like you believe in your miracles and all these things, he goes, the same things happen in the business world. And like, he goes, I know one guy, he spoke of how he took this step of faith. He moved his entire family to another country because they felt like that's what they're supposed to do. So they bought plane tickets. They spent their last bit of money on their hotel, and they had enough money that they spent for 5 days in a hotel, and they had $50 left afterwards. And as soon as they get to the hotel, the manager said, so what do you do? And the manager hired him on the spot. He goes, see, just like your God does things, these things happen. And I struggled with that. Because some of us, we think and we hear these things about, okay, well, then is my Jesus, do they even need it? And then what I realized is, but the thing is, my Jesus gives me hope every day. And I don't move blindly. I move with faith and a trust that's bigger than just going and doing and taking steps of faith. And I believe in a Jesus that died and rose again. But I think some of us, we just sort of live, and we hear those things, we're like, oh, okay. We just live, and we walk through life. And these three churches, let's read through this. Let's read through chapter 3, and then we'll start talking. It says, chapter 3, verse 1, Revelation. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember that you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, he who, not Philadelphia like the place where I'm playing today. It's a place overseas by Turkey. He who is holy, he who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one will open, and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you because you have kept my word and my perseverance. I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And your eye salve, anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I overcome and sit down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here, we have the last three churches. To each one of these churches, Jesus says, I know your deeds. I know what you're doing. I see your life. What would be written of you? If somebody were to, if a short little postcard would be written of your life, and Jesus were to say, I know your deeds, what would be written of your life? Seven sentences about you. Seven quick things that would say, I know your deeds, that you are what? Have you thought of that? That Jesus actually is watching each and every one of these churches, not just the churches, but it's watching people. Not like some creepy guy in the mall where you know the people that sit there and they just people watch and you know they're just watching people to see and to make fun. Not like that. But watching to encourage, watching to help, watching to say, here's how you can get better. Like a coach, sort of. And Jesus is watching. Do we realize that God pays attention to our day-to-day life? Do we realize that he cares about the details of what's going on? So here's what we got. We've got these three churches. We've got the Church of Sardis. And God says to them, you act. You have this look that you are awake. Which, how many of us are like that? We're on the hype of our coffee, the hype of our energy drink, whatever we are. We have the look that we're awake. And everybody thinks we're doing good. And some of us, we put on that facade like everything is good. We put that facade like our life is good or Christianity or whatever. We're good. Everybody thinks that, well, they've got it all put together. You guys know those people? That just seems like they've got it all put together. But then in reality, you know that they are about to fall apart. You guys ever, I feel like that. I've sort of had that the past few weeks or so, like, I was at AJ's the other day, working on this talk. AJ's is so good. And they have iced tea that's just, it's just wonderful. And I was at AJ's, and I'm sitting there just working on this because my office didn't have power. And I almost started to cry. In the middle of a store. And I thought, what? Was I telling you this, David? No, I don't remember who I was telling. And I thought, what is wrong? I felt like I was about to have a breakdown or something. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I felt like, okay, what is going on? I was listening to Hillsong, the Wonder album, and I just had this moment. And I had to close my eyes because the dude's sitting in front of me. I knew him. I've known him since elementary school, and he's like a huge firefighter with this mustache that could eat me. And I just was like, don't turn around and look at me right now because I don't want you to see me. Like I wasn't like bawling. I wasn't like, that would have been super bad. I probably would have just got up, left my computer, and said, okay, you guys can have it. But you see, we can put on this facade like we've got it all fine. And this church in Sardis, it says, you have this look like you're alive, but you're dead. You need to wake up. And then you have this church in Philadelphia. This church that is in this place where the Greeks are wanting to use this city, the city of Philadelphia, to be this like cultural hub, to be this place where they're going to start sharing the language of the Greeks, where it's the center of culture, the center of, we want to use this to make sure that we influence everybody around us. That was the idea of Philadelphia. It was a small city. It was the smallest of all of these churches, the smallest. God said, I know you feel like you have little power, but I'm giving you an open door. See, some of us, we feel like we don't have much to offer. Some of us, we look at our life going, I don't have much left. God says, you don't need to have much. You just need to give me what you have, and I will use that to do everything. And then you have this church of Laodicea. This church is possibly the wealthiest church in the area, the wealthiest city. And they had everything. They had hospitals that were they were known for. They were known for their banking systems. They were known for this eye salve that they invented that would help people with an eye condition. They were known for their clothing brands. They were known for that. God says to this church, you're neither hot for me nor cold for me. You're lukewarm. I don't know if you've ever had lukewarm water. Hot water is, it's sort of that water when you leave it in Arizona in your car and then you drink it and it's disgusting. You know that? And you're hoping just by chance it might taste okay, but then you want to spit it out of your mouth. My kids, they'll leave their drinks and then they want to drink Laramie Ice because we put ice in it, we think, before. They don't, but they're also only 4, 8, and 10. God says, you taste like that. So as we look at these places, some of us, that's sort of how we're going through life. We're neither hot about anything or cold about anything. And the things that we are hot about, we need to not really put as much passion into. And the things we're cold about, we need to put more passion into it. But some of us are cruising through life lukewarm. Some of us, we feel like we have nothing to offer, and God says, but you do. And some of us, we're walking like we're alive, but we're actually totally dead. We are the walking dead. And God says, will you just wake up? So the first thing I want to talk about this morning is, number one, wake up. Wake up. It's easy to get into a groove and just float in life, isn't it? It's easy. It's easy to do the church thing Sunday morning. You get up, you're like, okay, I'm going to do church Sunday morning. That's what we do. We get up. We're going to, okay, if I miss the 9:30, I'll go to the 11. Or if we're too late to go to one church, we'll hit this one because this one's on our way. I'd rather go to City View or whatever, but this one's right down the street from my house. So this is sort of my backup plan when we wake up, when the kids wake up. You know, it's just so we're going to cruise through. And we can easily let the current of life take us where it wants, can't we? We can easily let life do that. And life can just sort of carry us through whatever's going on. And we can just allow that to happen, not only in our physical life, but in our spiritual life. And so many times it happens first in our physical. It happens with our physical life. Things sort of just go mundane. The job becomes sort of ordinary, and we've been doing it for so long that we've lost passion at why we do what we do. You see that happen at jobs. You see that happen in sports. You see that happen in so many things where you just sort of cruise. You don't really care. You're sort of okay. You're there and you look alive. You're walking around, but you're really dead. Some of us have been hitting the snooze button in life way too long. I love the snooze button. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus didn't invent the snooze button. That wasn't his idea. His idea is that we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need a jolt. I remember when I was in school, I think it was high school, there was this drink called Jolt. It was the first of amazing drinks. It was a cola that had a kick. And I think some of us, we need a jolt this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says this, "For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So many of us, we need to wake up in our spiritual life. We need to wake up in who we are and what we're passionate about. If you're on social media, which I'm on a little bit, like this week is my birthday, and so I was looking at all the happy birthdays. Thank you guys all for wishing me happy birthday. 39, feels good. Soon I've got less than a year before I'm 40. Less than a year. Like, that's what I realized this morning. Somebody said, man, so you turned 39 this week. I'm like, I did. And I'm like, that just means I have less than a year before I'm 40. That's weird to think, but I'm not scared. 40 ain't got nothing on me. But you see, you look at all this turmoil on social media. All this turmoil in our news. All this turmoil in our world. I think it's time that the Christian church, that we wake up. Because like God is saying to the Church of Philadelphia, I have given you an open door. Do you realize we live in a country where you're allowed to go to your neighbor and love them for Jesus? You're allowed to do that. You don't have to worry about talking to your coworker about Jesus and the things that you did. And when somebody says, what'd you do this weekend? You can say, I went to church. Or like next weekend, for all of us who are going to serve at Love Our Schools, and somebody says, so what'd you do this weekend? You're like, well, I went to Love My Schools. What is that? It's a thing my church did. Well, what did you do? We do this. Why do you guys do it? Because we love our community. And all of a sudden, they're like, wait, there's a church that does that. And you can say, that's not all we do. And then all of a sudden, it's going to give you an opportunity to share Jesus. You see, we live in a country. God has given us an open door. But we've been sleeping. The Christian church has been sleeping way too long. Way too long. And we've been compromising. We've been letting things go. We've been letting things slide. We've been caught up in the whirlwind of whether it's CNN, Fox News, MSN, thinking that tags on to our Christianity. And we need to be all about this and God's word and living for him and waking up for what he's calling us to do, because God is calling us to live a totally different life. And that's what he says. You look at this last few months, and there's this sense of urgency. We need to have this sense of urgency. I mean, just in the last few months, we have had Charlottesville happened. We had two major hurricanes. We've had earthquakes galore throughout our world. We had a major shooting last Sunday. If we can't tell that the world is changing and that the time is coming close, and I'm not saying, I know it was, Jesus was supposed to come back like September 23rd. He didn't. I'm sorry. I was really pulling for September 23rd, waiting until let Rachel get married and then Jesus come back. I was really pulling for that, but didn't happen yet. But let me tell you, our world's not getting any better. It's getting eviler, more and more evil every day. And it doesn't matter what laws we pass. It doesn't matter what things we put into place. Laws don't change a person's heart. That's what the Ten Commandments showed us. That was the whole goal. That was the whole purpose, to say, you can't be changed by a law. You can only be changed by the grace of God. That's what changes a heart to be better and to live the life that we're called to live. The grace of God changes a life. Not the Ten Commandments. All they did was show us, you will never match up. That's all they showed us. And Jesus tells this church in Sardis, he goes, please, wake up! Wake up! Stop sleeping! I want to use you! And then we turn to this church of Philippi, the church in Philadelphia. God says, I've given you an open door. I've given you an open door to do things. But you feel you have a little power. How many of us have ever felt like we can't do anything because we don't have power or influence or ability? Feel like, I can't. What am I? I'm one person. I'm one person. In this church, God says, you have little power. And we can sometimes go into these situations thinking, but what can I do at my school? What can I do at my work? What can I do in my neighborhood? What can I do in my community? It only takes one person to cause a change. Look at what Martin Luther King did. One man. One person that decided, you know what? I'm going to stand up for what I believe. Took one man. Now you can say, but he died. But his legacy lives on, doesn't it? Took one person. My wife and I, we just finished a study with our kids about Harriet Tubman. With the kids. One woman saved many. One person. Imagine what you could do. You could say, I have little power. And this is what God says about that. Even though in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged that the Lord would take it away. Each time God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in
weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may now work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It is in our weakness that Christ is made the strongest. So when Jesus says, you have little power, but it is through Jesus that we have great power. It is through Jesus that we can walk through the open doors. And he's saying, I've opened doors for you. I've opened doors. You know, as I was thinking about this, as I was thinking about this idea of this open door, you see, Philadelphia, the whole idea and the whole goal of the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire at this time was to use Philadelphia to be this culture changing, to send out the gospel, the good news of the Greek language. That was the goal of Philadelphia. That was the goal of the city, to send the good news that we have a language where we want to unify everybody. That was the goal.
If we wake up
here at City View, God could use the city of Phoenix to be that door, to be the culture sending. We may not set culture for trends and styles. We'll leave that to LA and New York. Let's leave that to them. But what if Phoenix, imagine if Phoenix became the culture setting, the thermometer of Jesus going to our nation. Imagine if that started here, right here in this theater today, because we, the 100 and whatever people are in here, we woke up and we walked through that open door and we admitted that we're weak and we can't, and we don't have much to offer God. Imagine if we're like, God, but I don't have much. But I'll take the little bit that I have. I'll walk in my weakness to see your strength.
You guys, it's amazing what God does through weak people. This weekend was planting winter rye in my yard again. Every time I plant winter rye, I'm always reminded of weakness. Because I think in my own strength, I look going, man, if my kids didn't want to help, I really could plant my grass quicker, it would look better, and it would be even. But my boys, my three boys, love to help. And in their weakness, so I give them each a bucket of seed. And I say, okay, here's how you do it. Every year I train them. So Judah is, he's getting closer on doing it sort of good. Ezra's got the idea of not done. Ezra's got the idea of not dumping it in the middle. Joel, I love Joel to death, stood in the middle of the yard, just throwing seed. My yard may not look perfect to my neighbor, but it will look perfect to me. You see, in their weakness, I seed the entire yard. And when the seed comes in and the grass starts to grow, it will be even. Now, there will be patches of a whole lot more seed because they get to the end of the bucket. Dad, can I just dump the rest of it out? Sure. Maybe the birds won't eat that area. You see, Jesus says to this church, you may feel weak, but you're not. The last church, the church of Laodicea, God says, check your temp. Check your temperature. You're neither hot nor cold. You're not hot for me and you're not cold for me, meaning you're not on fire to live the life that I've called you to, and you're not cold. You're not in a way where you're like, you hate God. You're sort of lukewarm in the middle. You're like, I don't mind God. God's cool and I love that I get to go to heaven, but really I'm not going to live for him. Really I'm not going to be all crazy Christian. I'm just going to be okay Sunday morning. I'll make sure I give my 10%. Or some of us are like, I'll tip God. Here's a couple bucks, God. I mean, I gave more to my server last night than I gave to you this morning. I gave more to the Starbucks employee than I gave to you because I trust them, but I don't know if I trust you. Or God, I don't mind volunteering at work, but I couldn't serve here. Some of us, we are so lukewarm. God says, I would rather vomit you out than you be anywhere near me. And this is not a nice, and you're like, Jeremiah, don't be, this is what God says to a church. He said, I would rather you be hot or cold. I'd rather you be on fire for me or want nothing from me, but you're lukewarm. Thank you. lukewarm. And he says to this church got so confident, this community got so confident in themselves. They were known for their bank and their financial systems. They're like, we got it. God, don't worry, we got this. They were known for their clothing and their brands and their style and their look. And they're like, God, we got this. They were known for their medicine and their the eye salve that they had. And God says to them, what does it say right at the end? I was going to try to quote it. He says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, verse 18, that you may become rich, because they thought they were rich. And some of us, we're living like we have, but we don't realize we have nothing, because what we have in the world is going to burn. God says, you think you have, but you don't. I wish you would buy from me. Come to me, depend on me, gain from me. He says, and because you are, so that, he says, and then that, and he says, and then white garments, so that you may clothe yourself. White garments, the idea of having our righteousness in Christ. He says, so that your nakedness, your shame may be covered. He says, and that your eyes have, that your eyes may be anointed, that you may see. God desires to bless us, and God desires to cover us, and God desires to refresh our eyes that we may see. And then God says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God is knocking at each one of our hearts today, saying, please let me in. I have so much to offer you. Will you just let me in? It's not the banging of some debt collector. It's not the banging of your neighbor saying, give me sugar. It's not the banging of somebody saying, hey, I want to sell you something. It's a knock saying, God saying, please let me in. I want to dine with you. I want to get to know you. I want to be a part of your life. You see, the same idea of knocking also happened in the book of Genesis. Genesis 4, verses 6 through 7. Cain is getting ready to kill his brother. He hasn't yet. He's mad at God. He's mad at life. He's mad at the situations that life has come. And God says to Cain, then the Lord said to Cain, verse 6, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Sin is knocking at your door. You see, our door, there's two people knocking at our door every day. God saying, please let me in. Sin crouching at it, saying, please let me in. We have to make a choice. Who do we let in? God not saying, I want to ruin you, but God saying, I want to dine with you. God desires to come in and dine, to have relationship with us as a people and as a church. God wants to know us. So God says to his churches, he says, wake up. Wake up. I have so much to do. I'm giving you an open door. Be hot, on fire, passionate. And some of you, you're hot and on fire. It's going to look a little different. You're not going to be all wild and animated like me. You're hot and passionate. It's going to be more like, hey, how are you? That's fine. But it's inside. It's inside. Are you awake? Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that this morning that we would wake up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.